You know, God does everything for a purpose. The Lord is not keeping you alive because there is nothing else He has to do. The Lord is keeping you alive for a purpose. And every time God gives you a moment like this to gather with His people, He allows it because He has an appointment with you and because there are things that He wants to do from a corporate setting. So when we come to church, we should remember that we do come to church because the Lord has something that He wants to do. But from a corporate setting, there are things that God does in our lives, in the secret place, individually. There are things that He does in our families, biological families. There are also things that He does in the spiritual family. So we are called to live a balanced life. So whenever you come to the service, remember God has a word. The Lord always has an appointment. There is something specific that God wants to do. Because He cares about you. He cares about where you are at. He cares about every space in which you find yourself. So I want to encourage you on that. The Bible says Simeon, led by the Spirit, went to the temple to worship. And when he went, he found the Messiah. When he saw Jesus, he said, "My eyes have seen the salvation of Israel." Then he said to God, "You can take your servant." He went to the temple, not by habit as everybody went because it was a tradition, but he went to the temple led by the Spirit of God. I want to encourage you, please do come to church led by the Spirit of God, not led by your feelings. Because when you are led by your feelings, once you get here, you're going to do what your feelings tells you. If your feelings tells you, you don't have to worship, you're not going to worship. If your feelings tells you, you don't have to lift your hand, you won't want to lift your hand because it's about how you feel. And then you build the throne called your own self. When we come here, we come to worship God. We don't come to worship ourselves. A lot of times, we say we're Christians. We say Lord, but we are our own lords. And I want to encourage us to really allow God to minister to that very space of our hearts where we don't always allow God to do it. And when we humble ourselves before His word, before Him, then we can see the kingdom. Because the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like children. When you come to the morning service, whenever King Judah comes in, I was the King Judah this morning, and it was amazing. I did the Michael Jackson dance. It was amazing on King Judah. It was crazy. So, I need to get focused again. So, whenever the King Judah arrives, the children, they know, this is time for kids, so they go. The kingdom of God, if you truly want to see the kingdom of God, we have to come as children. As children. The problem with us is pride. Pride. It's about how I feel. It's about what I want. It's about how the church must make me feel. No, the church is not there to make you feel good. The church is there to make sure you hear from God. The church is not going to talk to you the way the devils talk to you. Because the devil will always suggest you how you feel. But God will tell you, you need to do His will. You need to obey. There is only one way of working with God. Is obedience. Obedience. You know, even in the prophetic, if you want to grow in the prophetic, learn to obey God in every single thing. Everything I shared here, a thing that God showed to me last night as I was praying in my room. I heard to learn, okay, when the Lord showed me, I had to take notes. When He showed the first thing, I took notes. I had to be obedient. That's how you walk with God. You can only grow with God if you are obedient to Him. Deuteronomy 28, the entire chapter, is just about one thing, obedience. And the Lord said to Saul that obedience is better than sacrifice. So this is not my topic today. I'm going to be sharing with you about the staff of Moses. I'm not very tough, eh? Am I very tough? Prince, am I very tough with you? No, eh? I love you, eh? That's why I tell you the truth. There is no way I'm going to flatter you. Given, how are you? Are you enjoying? France, how are you? I haven't seen you in a while, eh? I miss you, man. Oh, wow, Bianca, how are you? Good, thanks. Cool. So I'm going to be sharing about the staff of Moses. Does anyone, I think we all read the Bible, we all know the story of Moses. Moses was born during a time when his own people were living in Egypt, and there was a decree that all the male had to be killed. And then Moses was one of the males that were born, and through God's grace and the miraculous way of God doing his thing, found himself in the house of Pharaoh. He grew up there, and as he grew up, at some point in Hebrews it says, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, because when he was left in a little box at the Nile River, he was being picked up by Pharaoh's daughter, and then he went to live in the palace of Pharaoh. He grew up there as an Egyptian, and then at a later stage, he actually realized that, well, he was actually a Jewish guy. He was an Hebrew guy. Then he started kind of pursuing the freedom of his own people, and then killed an Egyptian, fled from Egypt, found himself in the in Midian, and for 40 years he was there. And then at a certain point, the Lord encountered him, had an encounter with God, and then God spoke to him about his calling. And then when God called him, it was in a miraculous way. He saw a burning bush, it was burning, and then from there he heard a voice. And God said to him, well, this is what you're going to do. This is your job description almost. Like everything that he had to do to go and deliver the people. So we're going to read from that little part, first slides, please. Where the Lord is speaking to Moses. He says, and now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me. And I've also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? The next slide, please. And he said, but I will be with you. This is God speaking. This shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? On the next slide, God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. So let's go to the next slide to read again the next scripture. It says, then Moses answered. This is now when Moses have received the calling and everything. But now Moses is about to go to Egypt. Now he's having a conversation with God. He's saying, well, these people, actually, they knew him as a guy who was living in the palace of Pharaoh. And then suddenly he started believing that he was a Jewish man, and he wanted to join them. But then now he's wanting to go to speak to the crowd that he didn't necessarily grow up with, to tell them that the God, their father, their God, the God of their fathers, have appeared to him. So now he's asking God for a sign. So God gave him two signs. But I'm going to focus on the one sign which had to do with the staff. The other sign was about putting his arm, and then as he took out his arm, his arm had leper, and then it disappeared again. It was one of the signs that God gave him. And the other sign had to do with the staff. So he said, then Moses answered, but behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say, the Lord did not appear to you. The Lord said to him, what is in your hand? He said, a staff. And he said, then the Lord said, throw it on the ground. So he threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses ran from it. But the Lord said to Moses, put out your hand and catch it by the tail. So he put out his hand and caught it, and it became a staff in his hands. This was the second sign that God gave him. First of all, I want to say, when the Lord calls you, Every authentic call of God comes with a sign. Every authentic call of God. Because there are things that God has to establish between you and Him in the secret place. And part of the sign, sometimes the Lord gives you a word. Sometimes the Lord can maybe witness through other people. There is always something that God establishes between you and Him. So that even when you will face the Red Sea, you will know that you were not dreaming. It was a reality when God called you. A lot of people run away from the callings because they have never had a sign between them and God. You believe you are called to do what you do, but what is your secret story between you and God? Because those secret stories are the things that will keep you still running and running, even when no one will believe in you. You know, Joseph couldn't deny that he saw the dream about his life, even when he was in the pit. I'm sure Joseph could say, "This is not what I saw." Therefore, Joseph could still have hope that things will look different. I believe even when he went to the prison, when he went to Egypt, was being arrested, being accused, I believe Joseph could tell himself somewhere, somehow, that this is not what I saw. This is not what I saw. Therefore, there is hope. Because all things work together for those who love God. When if you believe there is a calling upon your life, I do believe there is a calling upon each and every one of us. But the thing is, what is your secret story between you and God? More or less, here is one. So this was just something that I wanted to share there. Let's go to the next slide. Now, Moses is now in Egypt. And he's facing Pharaoh. This is in Exodus 7, where we read about several plagues. So that the stuff that God gave to Moses, the Lord spoke to him and he said he was going to do a lot of signs. There will be a few plagues in Egypt so that Pharaoh may finally release the people. And there was a lot of plagues. You know, the water was changing to the blood through that little stick. But now, in this particular instance, when Pharaoh says to you, "Prove yourself by working a miracle," then you shall say to Aaron, "Take your staff and cast it down before Pharaoh, that it may become a serpent." So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did just as the Lord commanded them. Aaron cast down his staff before Pharaoh and his servant, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh summoned the wise man and the sorcerer, and they, the magicians of Egypt, also did the same by the secret arts. For each man cast down his staff, and they became serpent, and Aaron's staff swallowed up their staff, which is amazing. If I do this now, it's going to go on YouTube, and they will say, "This is the new witch doctor in South Africa, all the way from Congo." I want to tell you something that I've just learned now. Can we get to the previous slide? It says that, so Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did just as the Lord commanded. And Aaron cast down the staff. You know, the reason why Aaron and Moses were supernaturally in command of the entire situation is because they were under the command of God. You know, if God has called you, the only way you can be repositioned to have authority is by remaining obedient, as I was saying. You see that as well with Ezekiel, as he saw the dry bones. He said, "I prophesied as I was commanded." Because he was under God's command, that he was supernaturally positioned to be in command of the dry bones. Sometimes we fail because we are obedient to ourselves, because we do not listen to the voice of the one who have called us. So in that particular instance, you know, Moses threw his thing there and changed into a serpent. The serpent swallowed the other ones. That was amazing. I wish I was there. So, and you'll see there is a mentioning of Aaron. Aaron was God said to it was one of his brothers, and the Lord said, okay, well, because he said, God, I can't speak very well. God said, okay, well, Aaron will speak for you. So you will be gods to Pharaoh, and Aaron will be the prophets. So you will see that many times the whole staff is referred as the staff of Aaron, as you saw in this particular scripture. So let's go. We will read now about one of the things that happened to the staff of Aaron. Let's go to the next slide, please. Okay, I'll first explain what is the symbolic meaning of the staff. In scriptures, the staff represents authority. It represents shepherding. It represents judgment. It represents ruling and leadership. If you will actually see in Psalm 23, that the Lord, he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. And he says, his rods and his staff, they comfort me. So shepherds always had rods, and they also had a... Sometimes the rods and the staff are kind of interchangeably used, but they play a slightly different role. The rods is primarily for discipline and correction, but the shepherding has to do with protection and also almost like destroying the acts of the destroyer. For example, David says about it when the lion would come to attack his sheep. So sometimes he will track them down. So those are the only two differences, but it's slightly the same. The actual word, sometimes even for the Hebrew text, it's almost the same word being used. So there's authority, shepherding, judgment, ruling, and leadership. As you read these scriptures, you actually see that there are different metaphors in which the stuff is being used in scriptures. So I just want you to remember these things very correctly. Tembeka, how are you doing? I can see. Yeah, so strengthen yourself. So I just want you to keep this in mind, what I'm sharing now, that about this particular point. Let's go to the next slide. We'll take one example of Aaron. So there was a discussion because there was this man called Korea. This Korea was one of the guys who rebelled against Moses, and he was doubting. He was saying, well, why must you rule over us? Why must you lead you and Aaron? And then actually one of the sad stories that you'll see in scriptures is that the Lord ended up, giving an instruction that he wanted to consume the entire people. Then Moses interceded. And then he said, okay, then take Korea, some of the chief leaders of the people. And what actually happened is that the earth swallowed them. They died. So it was during that particular kind of context, then God said to Moses, okay, well, ask the chief of every family of every tribe to take 12 staff, all right? So every family had to choose from the chief. The chief, they had to write the names of every chief on every staff. So because every leader had a staff and there was a name. So this is the particular context. So, and the staff of the man whom I choose shall sprout, thus I will make to cease from me the grumbling of the people of Israel, which they grumble against you. Let's go to the next slide. On the next day, Moses went into the tent of the testimony, and behold, the staff of Aaron for the house of Levi had sprout out and put forth buds and produced blossoms, and its bore ripe almonds. This is amazing. This is amazing. Imagine we just have a little wood like that in your room. The next day you come out, you find some blossoms there, some flowers, and some... You're going to run away. But you know why the Lord did this? This was a proof that he appointed Aaron and Moses as leaders. This was a proof that God appointed him as a leader. Everything that happened with Moses, the Red Sea departing and everything, was a proof that he was appointed by God. You know, when God calls you, when God has established you, you don't need to prove to anybody. God will demonstrate and to you and to the people around you that he has appointed you. So what's important is to be in that particular first place where Moses encountered God, where he commissioned him. So everything that happened here was because God appointed Aaron as a leader. But you know, the reality of leadership is that there will always be at least someone that will doubt who you are. There will always be at least someone, either a Judas or someone that will betray you at some point. They will always be. If Jesus had someone that could betray him, Jesus, the Son of God. The thing is, as much as you are very convinced that God called you, the next morning you can meet someone that can also be 100% convinced that you are not called. But how do you deal with that? You can only deal with that from a healthy place if you know you've encountered, you've built a secret story between you and God. If you know that, okay, well, this is not just a thing in the church, but I had an encounter of God because God spoke to me. And this is the reason why I can still wake up in the morning and still go to campus and study the thing that I'm studying, because I know that God has appointed me in this particular season to be studying this or to be working in this field. But if you do not have that conviction, when you have your Peter, you're going to run away. You're going to think you should get stuck in heaven. But Jesus could endure all of these things because he was the lamb that was slain before the beginning of the world, before the beginning of time. Jesus had his story with God. What is your story with God? What is your story with God? You may say, well, I'm first year, well, I'm second year, I'm still figuring out. Yes, this is the good time for you to connect with the Father. You may say, well, maybe you're already in the working world. Well, you have that story, then keep on running. Then keep on. Just keep on running. Keep on going. Keep on moving forward. And if you get in a place where you feel stuck, just remember. Remember the things he said where you were in front of the burning bush. So this was the proof that God appointed him as a leader. When God calls a man, he gives him a sign. What is the sign that God has ever given you in the area of your calling? I'm not talking about just ministry. I'm talking about anything that God has called you into. Those signs that you know just between you and God. The one that gives you boldness. You know why we don't all pray in the same way? Because we don't all share the same secret story of God. That's why we can come to church. Some others don't feel, some can feel like they don't need to pray. Some other feel they can pray. You know why? Because we don't share the same narrative. When David became king, first priority, the Ark of Covenant. In the Ark of Covenant, the staff of Aaron was there, the tablets where the law was written, and the manna. And it was a priority. When it was coming, that was when David was dancing like a madman. So his wife was staring at him like, what is going on with this husband of mine? How can you as a king dance like this? You know why? She didn't share the same secret story with David. David knew that before he was appointed as a leader, while he was still battling against lions, God gave him victories. When he was challenging Goliath, God gave him victories. But this girl, she grew up in a house where her father didn't even think about worship when he was a king. It was not even a priority. But David, he did set up a tent where people worshipped 24/7. So David had a story with God. That is the reason why we worship differently. Because we don't all share the same secret story. That's why some people, when they are in the room, they can just start dancing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And you wonder, these people are crazy. They're not crazy. They know what God has done. You know, especially church boys like me, grew up in church. I don't really know what it really means to change from the world into the church, because I have been in church all my life. I don't know. But those that I have experienced the change, there is an element of salvation that they know that I don't know. Because they know what it means to go and sleep around and walk around confused, depressed, demonic possessed. They know what it means to be delivered. I can only share about it from scriptures, but they can share about it from experience, because the Lord took them literally from that context. I'm thankful for my background. I'm also thankful for their background. So, just need to keep that in mind. So, let's go to the next slide. So, we must know everything the Bible says that the Old Testament, everything in the Old Testament were shadows of the things to come. Everything in the Old Testament were actually pointing to Jesus. From Genesis chapter 1, everything speaks about Jesus. Everything speaks about him. So, now we saw that staff of Aaron that produced blossoms, all right? So it was a very dry staff. But Jesus, when he was on his way, actually, if you read in Isaiah 11, verse 1, can someone read for us, someone that has a Bible? Who has a Bible with it? Okay, Kiara, you can read for us. Oh, yes. Yeah, you can read until verse maybe 6. You can read on the mic.
And there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse. And there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth.
Yes. Can you repeat again?
And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. Yes. And with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked.
Just repeat verse 1 again.
Verse 1. Please, yeah. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse.
Jesse was the father of David. Now, when you read in Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, it starts by introducing Jesus as the son of David, or son of Abraham, son of David. That scripture is a messianic scripture. It actually speaks about Jesus as this new branch. In fact, when you read in Luke 23, when Jesus was on his way to the cross, what happened is, there were people weeping, and he says, "You, daughter of Jerusalem, do not cry because of me. Do not mourn because of me." But he said to him, and then later on he says, if this green wood of this green tree can experience this, how much more the dry wood?" So he was speaking about himself, and he was speaking about the nation of Israel. So he identified himself as a green tree. And in this particular scripture, there was a feast in the Old Testament called the Feast of First Fruits. So that particular picture that we saw of Aaron's staff producing blossoms and was actually a picture of the resurrection of Jesus. So in fact, Paul says, in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead and the first fruit of those who have been fallen asleep. So the staff of Aaron, prophetically speaking, represents Jesus Christ. Because from the Old Testament, from all the prophets, Jesus was the only one that overcame death, was the only one who died and rose again. He was the first fruit of the Father. And therefore we have hope. Therefore we have hope. Because the same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead lives inside of us. So the staff of Moses, prophetically speaking, was actually speaking about Christ. And one thing that I thought about when I was meditating, you know, in the life of Jesus, you'll notice that every time Jesus was in an environment where people were criticizing him and doubting him, for example, in Nazareth, when he went to Nazareth, his own home, no miracle happened. There was not a single miracle that happened because of their unbelief. And you'll see Jesus, he went into the house of Jairus. He was about to heal someone. And then he asked everybody to leave out, to come out. Then he prayed for the person, and there was healing. And at one time, he went to the synagogue. He healed three people on the day of Sabbath. And then the Pharisees were criticizing him. There were other sick. You know what he did? He left the synagogue. He went out and he healed all of them outside. Why? Because there was unbelief. There was a bad atmosphere. You know, one of the things that kills the atmosphere for miracles to happen, even in corporate settings, is unbelief. So one of the things that we need to make sure we prioritize in our journey with God is to make sure we keep the right atmosphere that facilitates the Holy Spirit to speak to us. One of the things that kills the atmosphere of the Spirit to minister to you is bitterness. It's anger, unforgiveness. These things, they create such a bad atmosphere where you can't hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. You will hear louder and louder and louder the voice of your flesh. So you notice that Jesus, as powerful as he was, he went to his own home because of the unbelief, because of the bad atmosphere. No miracle could have happened. If we have to be a church where those who do not have hope can find their hope, we have to make sure we create the right atmosphere that will facilitate the Holy Spirit to move. One of the things that I've learned about the Holy Spirit is you need to create the right atmosphere for him to speak and to move and do things. If you don't do it, he will not. He will not. He's very gentle. We have to create, and it's called faith. Faith in action. That is why it was, for me, when we started, it was very important that we sit in the right way. Because that set up an atmosphere in terms of our mind and how we think. You know, one thing about those of you that have read about Kathleen Kuhlman, she was doing a lot of miracles. But you know one thing she understood the power of the atmosphere. She never booked a very large venue because she always wanted to have a packed venue to get the excitement of people. That thing of, I wanted to be there, because that expectation creates an environment where the Spirit of God can do more. Because there is faith. Because God will only respond to the voice of your faith. When we worship, what moves the heart of God is not your tears, it's your faith. It is the faith. Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Even with tears, it is impossible to please God. Because even unbelievers, they do cry too. But they still don't have faith in God. Some of them even hate God. Even Satanists, they do cry. Well, I'm just saying, we have to create the right atmosphere. What is the atmosphere that you create in your own room that will facilitate the Spirit of God to minister to you? One of the things that messes is the atmosphere. The music that we listen to, they are music that creates room for demons to step into your room and to mess you up. They are music that will never, that are not supposed to take place in our rooms. Because they are keys to the powers of darkness to find their right to function in our lives. So I'm wanting to encourage you, create the right atmosphere. So now imagine if Moses, if there was no staff, all right? If there was no staff, everything had to happen through Moses laying hands or doing things. Now imagine how much Moses could have been offended by the people because they rebelled against him all the time. So God, in his sovereignty, knew that if everything had to rely on Moses, at some point, this guy would have given up. Because actually he gave up many times. And God decided to use a little stick that has no feelings, nothing, to fulfill his purposes. You know what? When God have chosen you, God didn't choose you because you have a lot of qualities. He just chose you because he loves you. It doesn't matter what you have or what you don't have. That's the power of the calling of God. It's not about how equipped and, you know, whether you're rich or poor. No. God comes and picks a man as he is. Then he does what he wants to do. If everything had to depend on Moses, they were going to experience the Nazareth situation where no miracle happened even when the Messiah arrived. But God in his mercy, because he was so much committed to take his people to the promised land, made provision to use a staff that didn't have to feel to perform miracles. In fact, even when it was thrown out, it was changed into a serpent, still performed well. And then changed into a, didn't just get stuck and remain a snake, became back again into a staff. God used a little thing to perform. If God could use a stick just the staff to do all of these things that deliver the entire nation, how much more you that was created in his image? The Bible says that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. If a little stick could deliver an entire nation, you can be a key to deliver an entire nation if you would decide to be a vessel that God can use to affect the nations. God said, open your mouth and I'll fill it. It all depends on how wide you open your mouth to receive from God. So it's like if you want to drink or you want to eat. So I want to encourage you, it's a word God is speaking to you. I want to encourage you. So, as I'm saying, so if God could use a stick to deliver an entire nation, how much more you and I that were created in his image? If only a stick could make a way through the sea. Imagine I go to Muesenberg and I take a stick. Suddenly there is a way that is being made. That will be, I'll be a hero. I'll make money. I'll be like a main road, a new main road. Yeah. I tell you, people will be like, wow, this is hectic. If God could do that with a little stick, but in the new covenant, he brought the true tree, the tree of life, Jesus Christ, when he came. And it says in Psalms, when we are rooted in him, when we trust in him, we become like a tree and we bear fruit. In fact, that's why when you receive the Holy Spirit, the scripture says you bear the fruit of the Spirit. Because we are like trees. So that was a prefiguration. That was a picture of what God wanted to do in the new covenant. Go to the next slide. And I'm going to finish off there. And these are the questions that Moses asked God when God called him. He said, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? Identity. What is his name? When people ask me, what is the name of the one who sent me? And they will say, and then the third one, the Lord said, the Lord did not appear to me. He was speaking about people. People will wonder. And if you see everything that God did, God answered all of these things. And all of these things are found in Christ, in our relationship with God. What did he do? Gave us his presence, the Holy Spirit. Gave us his name by which we must be saved. And he gave us his authority. And the Bible says the apostles, they were doing signs and wonders, healing the sick. In fact, the Bible says Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, healing the sick. That's the next slide. And how God anointed Jesus, the apostle preaching of Jesus with the Holy Spirit, with power. He went out doing good things and healing who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. That's the good news. That God, the God who spoke to Moses, dwells inside of us by his Spirit. Therefore, we have an appointment. We have an assignment. Let's go to the next slide, which will be our life's assignment. And this is what God spoke to Jeremiah. I would love you to stand. We're going to pray with that. God comes to this young man and he says to him, I have called you. Before you were born, I knew you. And this is what he said to him. He said, see, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms. To pluck up, to break down, to destroy, to overthrow, to build, and to plant. I want you to take these words as if it was word that God is actually speaking to you right now. He said, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up, to break down, to destroy, to overthrow, to build, and to plant. Maybe you're asking yourself, who am I? The Bible says we did not receive a spirit of bondage so that we may live in fear, but we have received a spirit of adoption by which we cry, Abba, Father. And what are the things in your life that are there that still need to be plucked up? What are the things that need to be broken down? What are the things that still need to be destroyed? What are the things that needs to be overthrown? What are the things that God still needs to build? And what are the things that can be planted? When we think of South Africa, What are the things that needs to be plucked up? What are the things that can be broken down? What are the things that can be destroyed? What are the things that can be overthrown? And what are the things that needs to be built and to be planted? Because we have authority. We have authority. And the authority we have is because we have been delegated by God. In the same way the Father sent Jesus, Jesus said, I sent you. Go to all the nations and make disciples. But if we're going to have to go, we're going to have to believe that the same God who called Moses have called us as well to be his prophetic voice. And if you may be here, you just feel there are things in your life that need to be plucked up. You've been trying to do it and it's not happening. And tonight, the Bible says the Son of Man came to destroy the works of the evil one. And tonight, what I'm just doing, and I'm just activating you, and I'm just encouraging you to start a journey of God where you can do these things. You can even do a list when you go home. What are the things that needs to be plucked up? You just write down. Things that needs to be broken down, write them down. To be destroyed, write them down. To be overthrown, write them down. Things that needs to be built and things that needs to be planted, write them down. And cry out to God, because nobody is going to do it for you. You have to build your own secret story with God. But we're going to join our faith together to really trust God that He does that. But before I call anybody forwards, I want you where you are to start praying and really ask God to pluck up things that need to be plucked up. Things that need to be broken down. Ask God to do it. Things that need to be destroyed. Ask the Father to do it. Things that need to be overthrown. Ask the Father to do it. Things that need to be built. Ask the Father to do it. Things that need to be planted. You can ask the Father in faith. He's faithful. Hallelujah. Let's cry out to Him. Let's cry out to Him in faith. If you do not pray, nobody will pray for you. God is not going to pray. You're going to have to pray. Yes, Father. Yes, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, here we are. 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 Here we are, God. Here we are. There are things in our life that are there that aren't supposed to be there. Lord, would you destroy them? There are thoughts that are coming into our minds that are not supposed to be there. Further, there are things that we've been developing as habits that still need to be destroyed. Father God, your word that's supposed to be planted in our hearts, we've been neglecting your word. We bring our hearts before you. We pray, God, that you shall establish your life inside of us so that we can see the signs of your spirit, the signs of your word. Oh God, the fruit of your spirit. Oh Father, in the precious name of Jesus.